Good morning. August 8th, 5:43 a.m. I'm a little bit early again this morning. I have to take my daughter to marching band early, which means she has to wake up early, which means I need to be there to wake her up. So I basically need to end this walk about the time I start talking to you under normal conditions. It's okay, it gets me up, gets me moving, gets this day underway. I've been up since just before 3 this morning, so I'm more than ready for my coffee. Get this thing underway. What I'm thinking about this morning is writing. I had some feedback on this latest draft of Cape Grace, and I really think that there's some good stuff in there that I need to pay attention to. Normally I don't go back and edit. This is one instance where I think I'm going to, in large part because I think it's going to fundamentally change the flow of the work. And that's not something that I want to try to correct over the course of the book, especially since I can probably do this in a matter of a half an hour. And the problem, as I think I indicated on an earlier podcast, the problem is that I jumped too quickly into the action. That I didn't actually set up what was happening and instead had a bunch of reaction to something that was unfortunate. So I need to go back and look at that. I think it'll be very helpful. I reread, just for funsies yesterday, The Amulet of Amenartis, a steampunk story. I don't remember what started me, but it was interesting for me to go back and to reread it, having heard it. Came out pretty good. I do say so myself. Get some stiff competition in the Parsec Awards, but, well, hey. Depends on who's reading. But yeah, this morning I'm thinking seriously about writing. I think I'll have at least 3 or 4 uninterrupted hours today. And if I do this correctly, I could probably write for a good portion of them before I fall asleep. Yeah, I'm very tired. I didn't get anywhere near enough sleep last night. And when the cats woke me up and I realized that my younger daughter was still up, it was almost 3 o'clock in the morning. I had to go play some daddy games with a recalcitrant child, which pretty much woke me up for the morning. I think what I have to do is put a timer on the router. It's already established. I can tell the router to stop accessing at any particular point in the day and to basically shut itself off for 4 or 5 hours if need be. I think if I tell them it to shut down between, say, 11 and 4, that's not likely to get in my way. And it will kind of give those night owl children and the kids who are apparently sneaking out of their rooms in the night to go downstairs a lot less incentive to do so. We'll have to see how this works out. Oh, I did get, I mentioned sometime, perhaps only on Facebook, but a few days ago, a couple weeks ago maybe now, I found the other Nathan Lowells and sent friend requests to them. One of them responded yesterday, and so I left a message on his wall along the lines of, hey, how many Nathan Lowells do you think we can collect? Should we start a group? And he immediately unfriended me. And I don't know if he's blocked me yet or not, but it's funny. So I guess I freaked him out. Sorry, Nate Lowell. He's a high school kid. He probably didn't know quite what to make of it. Yeah, well. Yeah, Monday morning traffic. Woohoo. So, the big news is that I'm going to a seminar in March. It's invitation only, and I'm very excited. The opportunity to spend a week with writers studying writing, practicing writing, eating and sleeping writing. I really feel like I need to see if I can move my game up a bit. I've done pretty well by myself, I think. The path, the trajectory in my writing from Quarter Share to A Light in the Dark, I think is pretty dramatic. Oh, I talked to Brand about what he didn't like about A Light in the Dark. And I see his point. If you haven't read A Light in the Dark, I'm actually going to spoiler it a little bit here. Something happens near the end of the book, and Gunderson doesn't do something. That many people think that he probably should have done. And that was not an arbitrary decision on my part, nor was it a, oh, Nate's just soft idea. The point is there was no compelling reason to do the dark. It is A Light in the Dark. The story is A Light in the Dark. The story is In the Deep Dark. The story is about a ship lost in the deep dark. And one of the crew members does something pretty bad. And the upshot of it is that the crew member is allowed to walk away. I'm spoiling this for anybody who hasn't read the book yet, the novella yet. And in reality, the problem that I had was that this is the first novella in what I hope to be a series of novellas, and I need to leave room for escalation. I need to leave room for things to get more serious as we go along. And if I do if I get too carried away too early, then that doesn't leave me a lot of room. And frankly, I didn't see that the darkness was required. I understand the critique. I do. I don't necessarily agree with it from a plot standpoint either, because what the captain winds up doing is basically taking away the spacer's career. He'll never work again. The idea that he should therefore kill the kid isn't really necessary. All that's really necessary is that he not be allowed in a position where he can harm another crew. And while I perhaps did not make that absolutely clear, the reality of it is, Gunderson didn't do the kid any favors. So, I don't know. I do appreciate the feedback. I really do. I don't agree with it. Well, I do agree with it up to a point, but the problem is that my vision of this world is not consistent with that one, and that's a problem because I didn't make that clear enough, perhaps. I don't know. That's one of the imponderables. It's out. It's done. It's gone. I'm not going to revise it. I got new stuff to write. But it was an interesting observation. Brand has got great instincts when it comes to plot, and I take his discussions very seriously. I don't always go along with him, but I always take them seriously. A part of it is that he and I have very different views on narrative. We both recognize good narrative, I think, and I do admire his work. It's just that that's his work. So I'm okay with us having a difference of opinion on it. He asked me yesterday about writing action scenes. Does it feel like giving in? I said one time that writing those kinds of violent sort of action scenes felt like I was somehow not carrying force with my idea of compelling stories about ordinary people doing ordinary things. And to a certain extent, I think some of what I've written, particularly lately, is that way. I've really started writing many more extraordinary kinds of things. I'm still not writing big stories. They're still small stories. And one of the things that strikes me, that hit me as I was doing the Article 37 pieces of Ownershare, was that really horrific things happen to ordinary people. And all I have to do is look at the local newspaper. I don't live in a big city, and I see really horrific things happening to ordinary people. We're not living in a war zone. We're not living where there are, you know, extraordinary circumstances. And yet, every day, horrific things happen to people. So part of it is, it still sort of feels a little bit odd. But the reality is, perhaps I was a little bit too stiff-necked in the beginning when I started thinking about what constituted ordinary people and small stories and what makes them compelling. I don't think I was wrong. I think I might have been a little stiff-necked about it. Ravenwood is probably still one of the best stories that I've done. And it is in part because of the enigma that is Tanith Fairport. She has something that we don't know about yet. And it surfaces periodically. Now, the other side of that coin, of course, is that you can't have a quest fantasy without a certain level of fisticuff, without a certain level of body count. It's de rigueur. It's not a story about common people in extraordinary circumstances, the same way that the Trader's Tales are, or even as the South Coast Shaman books are. So it's not exactly the same thing. And no, it doesn't feel like I'm giving in, doesn't feel like I'm selling out. And likewise, in A Light in the Dark, there's very little violence. There's very little in the way of confrontation. There is a lot of bottling. There is a lot of avoidance. There is a lot of denial. And that explodes at one point in a very short scene that uncorks a whole collection of different ideas. And I did that on purpose. It may not work. It may not be right. It may not be the best that the story could be. But it was something that I did on purpose. So we'll see. I don't know. The story works for me, and it works for a few other people. It's not selling a ton. It's still selling 40, 50 a day. I'll break 1,000 in a few days for this month. But, well, here I am. I'm already at the back gate, and tomorrow is another day.